Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, everyone. It is the match preview, Manchester United versus Liverpool in the league. Yes, Old Trafford bound are the Reds this Sunday. I'm going to chat about it with Dan Clubb and Jamie Cranford in the studio with me. Exciting. Very, very exciting. And loads to discuss around the game. We'll obviously dip into the stuff that happened last night. We'll talk a little bit about how Manchester United prepared for the fixture, which is really good fun in and of itself. But before I do that, today we're powered by Match Bingo. It is a brand new app which you can download using the link in the description, or you can scan the QR code that will be appearing periodically in the top corner, right there, and get involved. You can win big cash prizes, which is the £2 stake on this weekend's United clash. The total cash pot for United versus Liverpool is £1,075. You can win £500 for getting the first full house, £25 if you get a line, and £50 if you're the first to get two lines. There's also an extra £500 full house bonus available. It works just like bingo. In case you're wondering, events happen like a corner and then they stamp them off throughout the game, and the ultimate aim is stamping, of course, all of your icons and being the first to win a full house. For those watching, I've got a demonstration of what that looks like. So basically, this is what it looks like on an iPad. It looks less huge on your phone. This was a shock to me when I logged into this before. But basically, yeah, you'll pay your £2, you get your bingo card with these events, and basically as these events happen. So for example, I'll click this one, headed goal awarded. Then you've got attempt saved. That's a red card in the middle. You've then got free kick taken and attempt off target. So that would be a full line. So as an example being, the four of those are pretty straightforward, but you'd obviously need, I would imagine you'd need the red card, unless he's got someone randomly sent off Vinnie Jones style in the first minute before there'd even been a shot on goal. So obviously, yeah, and it's very much just a first past the post. So if you're the first one of the people playing to complete that line, then of course you'll get it. Just an interesting wrinkle to all of this. The cards cost £2. 35% of that will go to the Stroke Association charity as well. Plus, every week, play their bin goals. Brilliant. Love a bit of punnage. For free and being with a chance of winning. Please play responsibly as well. So, yes, come and play Match Bingo with us by clicking the link in the description or scanning the QR code in the corner. There's going to be more on that from us in the coming weeks as well. So, yeah, we should be playing along with it this weekend. So, I'm looking forward to seeing how that goes. Anyway, on to the game itself. Dan, how are you feeling about Liverpool going to Old Trafford again? This time knowing that we very much need a win.
Yeah, listen, revenge is in the air, let's put it that way. I feel confident about it, but I felt confident about the previous two times we come up against Manchester United this season, because we are far superior to them, and the results don't really detract from my feeling that's the case, to be honest with you. In spite of that, you know, we've gone into both games and we pretty much dictated terms throughout both. Balance of play-wise, it's been heavily weighted in our favour. However, we haven't been able to make that show in the scoreline or indeed the end result, which is really, really frustrating. But yeah, given obviously the events of last night, I'm in an even better place heading into this one, to be honest with you, because obviously we get the job done. You know, might not have been perfect at certain points, but we get the 3 points. That's ultimately all that matters. And then obviously what happens at Manchester United, or what transpires down at Stamford Bridge to them, is just another kick in the teeth for them. It feels like psychologically, mentally, they're really, really fragile anyway. So for that to happen feels like, I say, another step backwards, another negative in their camp. So yeah, I feel really, really good. And again, you know, players coming back last night as well. We're going to talk about team selection stuff like that later. But there's not really anything to be negative about, I don't think, heading into this one.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, people will find a way. Of course they will. But it's an interesting one from the, you know, obviously the Pullman United perspective and the rivalry and what have you, Jamie, because I think a lot of people will point to the FA Cup game and say, well, that actually puts almost like advantage Manchester United in some regards. And I think if you could treat that game in isolation, I don't think that's the... I think you can. I think it's fair. I think Manchester United fans will certainly look at it that way. They'll go, well, we managed to get the better of Liverpool. That is certainly, that'll be a tick in a positive column for them. I'm with Dan, and that's definitely red tinted glasses to some extent, but I'd like to think it's more than that. I agree with what he said there, in that I think Liverpool are better. We've been here before in the flip reverse, where we beat them and be like, no, we're better than you. And they'd be like, we're winning the league this season. And we go, oh, where do you? Oh, we're like fourth or fifth or whatever. So, yeah, there's tons of sort of wrinkles to all this. How's your overall feeling?
Pretty good, yeah. I think what happened to them last night was kind of a bit of an encapsulation of their whole season, apart from normally they don't lose, or, you know, they've been... I saw a stat yesterday. They've conceded more shots than any team in the top five European leagues, full stop. And, you know, so you think they're ahead of... That's more than Sheffield United. You know, anyone you could care to mention. But as you saw against Brentford the other day, they were getting battered by Brentford, and then it's like, oh, my God, they can't win this. And then, they, you know, eventually they concede that equaliser, and it's come back to bite them against Chelsea in hilarious fashion. That could have happened in the FA Cup game as well. You know, the shoe was on the other foot. They kind of stunned us with it. We were sloppy that day as well. They got us with the late winner. So I don't think the players and increasingly the fans are having the manager. I think morale is... It was such a big boost for us, them losing that game, because I think they can kind of... The fans are probably... Well, they're going to be up for it anyway, but if they win that game, then it's like, right, let's show these Scousers, let's really teach them something. Whereas now, I think they'll be back, the players and the fans, of like, let's... You know, we score early like we did 2 years ago. It could be another four or five. You know, I think the morale
the FA Cup
that
game felt like that. Yeah, and that's the kind of mad thing about it, is that actually in the fullness of the game, the stats in terms of like shots and shots on target all sort of line up. You know, to being quite an even contest. But actually, anyone who watched the game knows that we struggled a little bit at the start and they had a flurry at the end. But that middle section of the lion's share of the football match was all Liverpool. We just didn't have what it took to. On the night or the day to put it to bed. But there are extenuating circumstances, as there always are when you're looking for reasons. And I said this at the time, you know, they had a week to prepare for that game, and we came off, we had a great result against Sparta going into that, which felt like a really good piece of preparation. But ultimately, you know, I don't know, I was having a chat with some of the matches about this, Dan, yesterday. At some point in the not too distant past, everyone stopped accounting for the fact that when you play midweek football, it's harder to play football at the weekend. It always used to be European hangover. No one talks about it anymore, whereas this time around we've both played, there's the same amount of recuperation time for both sides, and we're a better side. And yes, it's Old Trafford, but that should play in our hands this time.
Yeah, it certainly should do. Yeah, I think it became the norm, didn't it? European football, and it stopped being a thing, it stopped being a talking point.
Well, because we've been so good.
That, and also having like extended squads and extra subs and stuff, I've kind of negated the impact it did have and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, make you right on that. But yeah, in terms of the last game, obviously you're right. We kept them at arm's length for large parts of that game and just felt like we were more comfortable than the scoreline ever really reflected. We were clearly dominant. I think we knew within ourselves we were better than what was up against us, but we never really went and fought forced the hand and forced the issue and made the game done, essentially, from our point of view. But yeah, we are far superior to them, as I mentioned right at the top. And I think the fact, as you said, they actually went a little bit deeper, not just in terms of how the game went, but their kickoff was actually 45 minutes further than ours, pushed back. And then obviously they were away from home, they were down in London, they've got to travel back up and all that sort of stuff. So preparation wise, they don't have the upper hand this time. If anything, it's slightly weighted in our favour, as I say. And the fact we were able to take Mohamed Salah off and still win the game last night plays into our hands as well. So yeah, I come back to it. There's no room for manoeuvre in terms of excuses, in terms of reasons. We can't really point to anything in terms of, well, this is why we weren't quite at our best. That doesn't exist anymore. And ultimately, we said it the other day in the podcast, like, as Liverpool now, there is no room for any of that. Like, we have to be gung-ho into every single game. There's no second chances now. Like, this is it. So at Old Trafford, we touched on our record there in previous title run-ins, likewise Everton. That can't be a thing anymore. We can't go there and say, well, draw's not a bad result. Yeah. This has to be a three-pointer.
There needs to be a ruthlessness, Jamie, for me. And I think, and the Salah thing's interesting, because I think part we took him off, obviously, as Dan mentioned, yeah, last night. I think there's part and parcel of that is fitness. You know, we're getting him back in. You know, he started the game last weekend. We were saying it was his first start into New Year's Day. It was the Brighton game, and that's incredible, because it feels like he's been back for longer than that. So we're being careful with him, but actually, he's not been in great form yet. Look, he ultimately wins us the game against Brighton a week ago, so he's got that in his locker. We know he has. But I like a little bit of putting a bit of fire in his belly for this one.
Yeah.
And I hope he channels it in the right way, and I'm sure he will, because when I talk about ruthlessness, Liverpool need, like we did when we beat them 5, you need to get your goals up. No one should care who scores them.
Yeah.
If you've got an opportunity to cut it back for someone who's totally unmarked in the middle, do it. And I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's cutting it back for Salah or Nunez or someone arriving from midfield. That's the Liverpool. We don't need to be wanking it to death. You know what I mean? Just get the goals and get the results.
Yeah, I've noticed that a little bit recently with our attacking play. I feel like there's been a bit of like trying to get the perfect goal or create an unmissable chance, essentially. You'll get someone like Diaz where it'll go onto his left and he'll have a split second where you think, just hit it. And he'll go, no, I'm going to cut it back in. Oh, now the chance is gone. So as we saw with Sheffield United's goal yesterday, sometimes you just need to just head it into an area or cross it into an area and it can go in for you. So I do think we need to, as good as Salah was in terms of getting on the end of chances against Brighton, he wasn't very ruthless in front of goal until the winner. Yeah, I mean, if he's fired up, and, you know, he's never happy to come off, is he, as we saw. I was watching in the pub and there was, like, you know, nearly people throwing chairs and all that when Salah got brought off.
It was a very passive-aggressive removal of tape from his hand.
He's furious. Yeah.
Yeah, so if he's, I'm sure it was fitness-related, it was sports science-related, but maybe there was a little element from Jürgen of, like, you're not too big to get taken off. Mm. You're never too old for a smack, as my late nan used to say. You know. sorry,
been choked up about it.
Getting emotional. Yeah.
Childhood trauma.
Yeah. She used to say that to my dad and my uncle Gary when they were like 55. So anyway.
Yeah.
If he has got that fire in his belly, then great, because he's really put them to the sword previously, and at Old Trafford as well, getting the hat trick there a few years ago. So yeah, but
it's that ruthlessness again we're all looking for. You just can't afford to mess around with this anymore. And, you know, it's the slight contention on the FA Cup game is ultimately they beat us in extra time. Mm-hmm. So it's a draw by all accounts. Now, I'm always wary of trying to build anything in a season needing 3 points at Old Trafford. For me, you should never need 3 points at the Etihad, Old Trafford or Goodison Park. Now, unfortunately, we've left ourselves in a situation where we need 3 points from two of those grounds that are still to go. So there is a slight concern over that. But yeah, they called that game like the best game of their lives and all that kind of stuff, and I get it, and I like the fact that there might be a little bit of that sort of buzz around it. I want them thinking that they can come out and actually give us a game, because I think we were caught cold last time around. I think we expected them to be a bit more pragmatic, and actually they came out the blocks. I think we'll be prepared for both eventualities this time.
Yeah, 100%. You'd anticipate we'd learn from our lessons because we've seen us do that in game, let alone with sort of 2-3 weeks to look back on what happened that day. 100% agree with you as well. And I think as well, where they're at right now in terms of the fragility of the fan base and indeed the players, it does feel like if we do start the game well in particular, they're only a goal or maybe two away from turning a little bit toxic in there as a fan base. And obviously the players will then obviously get their heads down and stuff like that. And I'm not quite sure they are playing for the manager anyway. There's a little bit, there's
Bruno
signs.
Will start sulking. Yeah, Rashford will start sulking.
Exactly. Well, like, I've seen some clips this morning of the way they were pressing, in inverted commas. It was hardly Gegen. So, yeah, I think I don't think we're too far away from
more
that.
Like Degen pressing.
Yeah, more like nice. Nice, yeah, yeah. But again, that's what you're saying there about that being the best result they've had for countless years. That speaks to where the two clubs are at right now, because a not very good performance in a 4-3 win in the FA Cup, like, fine, whatever, but really, come on now. This is Manchester United, you know what I mean? As Gavin Neville would say. I'm really, really confident. I think we should learn our lesson from what happened the previous time. I'd like to as well learn our lesson from the Anfield game, to be honest. But as you say, however they approach this game, whatever game plan they employ, I would like them to come out and play a little bit, because I think that plays into our hands even more. If they do think they can come and bloody our nose and give us a sucker punch and try and play us out of our own game, perfectly fine with that. But ultimately, I'm kind of anticipating at some point in the next few weeks, hopefully starting on Sunday, we can start playing really, really well. And that's not to say we're not playing well at the moment, but it does feel a little bit like we are in a certain gear and we're not quite at it. We're just getting through. And that's fine because we're winning games. But at some point in this run-in, I imagine we're really going to click into gear and it's going to be electric, and that could start this weekend.
We need a big win, but the thing is, it's not going to be this game, and I'm wary of this because I saw this attitude creeping in around the game against Sheffield United. Yeah. Of people need to stop talking about goal difference.
Yeah. That was a big conversation before this one.
Goal difference needs to fuck off, and don't worry about it. It's actually people talking about it stresses me out more than us having a goal difference gap to Arsenal, because when you chase goal difference, you're basically on the precipice of throwing everything in the bin. And I remember 13-14, I remember going to Selhurst Park, and you leave yourself open because you're going, you're throwing in your game plan. You're almost saying what's got us here isn't good enough, whereas the goal difference will right itself. You know, if Liverpool just win every game, don't be shocked if by the time you get to the final game of the season, that goal difference is negligible at best. And if you then have to have a push on the final game of the season, then great. You have 90 minutes to go and chase a few goals, fine. But the beauty is with this game, I don't think this is that. I think this is the kind of game where every one of us, we'd love a big win against United again, but actually the reality is, and I think Sheffield United help with this, helps focus the mind, just get 3 points.
Yeah.
I don't care. I know it's stressful, and this is what I said on my post-match video last night, is like, embrace the stress, because this is what it feels like. You know, none of us are in a position to care about how Liverpool achieved their victories. We can't afford to be picky, because it's our last chance to do it under Jurgen Klopp. So there's not one of us that would say, if you said this is the end game, this is the only way, that the one way that Liverpool do it is by being the most stressful experiences, 8 stressful games of your life, then so be it. Cesar. Just on Manchester United, Jamie, we've touched upon it, like Ten Hag and their fans and all that. So I saw a tweet from our mate Adam McCola last night, and he was asked about where his mind was on Ten Hag, and he said, most confused I've ever been over a manager. Part of me wants to see him given some time, and then you see performances like we did against Brentford and Chelsea. We've lost 40% of our league games though, and whilst injuries in the squad haven't helped, there's no excuse for that. They're in a weird position, and I think we've seen it with Ten Hag at Anfield and a little bit in the FA Cup game. I think he's aware that a whacking loses him his job.
Yeah.
So there's definitely an ability for us to play into that. But they are in a funny old position. I mean, he came out, I saw the quote of him saying, like, he needs to be given, don't interrupt the process, I think was the quote, the main takeaway quote from that. And please, anyone watching, please don't interrupt.
I was going to say, I agree with him, yeah. I think for them, Jim Ratcliffe did an interview the other week, and he was saying like something like not qualifying for the Champions League would be a disappointment or something like that. And I thought, is that the first little nail in the coffin? Because he's made an official statement there where when they inevitably don't qualify for the Champions League, they can sack him and go, well, he didn't hit our internal target. Yeah. So, you know, it's weird how the shoe's been on the other foot in comparison to us in the 90s and the early noughties, where I think we all had it with maybe like Roy Evans and Gerard Houllier, where it's like, no, this guy's going to do it. And they were all going, no, he's not. No, he's not. You're like, and you can kind of kid yourself. Julio was a great manager for us and he had some fantastic moments, but we never quite had that of pushing on to be a dominant side. And, you know, I think we were all in our own little Liverpool bubble going, it's going to come good. Whereas they're just laughing, winning Premier Leagues, left, right and centre going, no, it's not. And I think we've got that clarity now, like we're saying with Adam there. I'm not conflicted. He's not good enough as far as I'm concerned. And he's, you know, he seems like a divisive manager. He's alienated half the squad. He's got a fella who's captain who has not got the right attitude to be a captain as far as I'm concerned. There's problem. You've got, you know, I mean, they've had bloody Johnny Evans, as good as a decent player as he is. Like, he's now a loss for them. Like, oh no, Evans is out. Like, yeah. Where, how have they got, how have they, yeah, spent £1 billion?
This is Manchester United.
Football club we're talking about.
In 2024
about.
As well, by the way. Yeah, like, yeah.
You know, so... Yeah, I mean, it is funny.
Look, we do the Bias Football podcast every week on a Monday afternoon, and there's almost, like, if Man United were good, this section wouldn't exist. But there's a Let's Have a Laugh at Manchester United effectively section every week. And bear in mind, I rewrite that agenda every week.
And there's new content for it every week.
Yeah, and I don't have a fixed segment in there that is dedicated to them. But it just happens every week. They've done something stupid or something. They've been mismanaged.
Like itself, doesn't it?
Yeah, honestly. Like, yeah, this week there's been potential legal action because of Ineos talking about the bidder. Is it Sheikh Jassim?
Oh, saying
he doesn't exist.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Wild.
We've never known him. We've never seen him. Nothing ever materialised. And also, there's the credit card stuff going on with Manchester United. All the big wigs have had the credit cards taken off him. It was a cost cutting exercise. So there's a little nod to your agenda for next week.
There you go. But it's mad. But yeah, I mean, again, we grew up with Manchester United being unbelievable, and we've actually had. There was a point where it was referred to like 1920 is like that. They crossed on the stairs finally. You know, we'd had a few good results or whatever in the build up to that, but after we won that European Cup and not beating them at Old Trafford, only getting that draw was really annoying. Actually, because it meant that we didn't win like 27 out of 27, yeah, at the start of the season, of course. But moreover, because it was a great chance to party. We've since had that time, and we've kind of accelerated away from them. The only time they're close is when we have like a catastrophic season, you know, almost like of our own doing through transfers or injuries or you know fitness management or whatever. So it's the one of the things that I'm hoping this game sort of proves is that gap still very much does exist, because I'm not here for it. I can't be arsed with them being like the horror movie villain that's got another sort of scare in them, because they are a mess. And you know, Liverpool might well become that with Klopp leaving. We might be facing our own like post Fergie wilderness. Just not this weekend, not the rest of the season, lads. Let's just give it to us all. Can we talk briefly about the Chelsea game last night for them? Anyone? Did we see this?
Well, in the aftermath, obviously, yes, being here, but it was glorious. Like at no point, I must admit, like I think I started the first post game show in here, and it was 3-2 at the time. It's Manchester United, and I kind of just accepted. Don't know what the time necessarily was. It was like 90 plus something. I thought, oh, well, that's the end of that. Then that's quite annoying, because sort of the opposite of what you were saying before in terms of morale boost and sort of a bit of spring into step heading into the game on the weekend. And then Joe, our producer, alerted me to the fact that there'd been some goals. I was like, okay, let's check. And 90 plus 10 90 plus 11, I was like, that can't be possible. So yeah, incredible. And again, come back to it, it's a real hammer blow for them, a massive, massive hammer blow for them. And does their trust or lack of in the manager extend even further? The fans, you mentioned one there, and that's throughout the entire fan base, that sort of feeling, like they really are split, if not going against Erik ten Hag now, which again speaks to, if we needed, you know, a nod towards how we should approach this game, I'm not sure we did, because I've said it a few times, Liverpool aren't dying wonder anymore, there are no second chances, title, etc, etc, etc. But this, to me, and what the events of last night speak to, I believe we should go to Old Trafford and really go for the throat, because if we do get on top early and we are able to silence the crowd, if anything make the crowd turn, that could be anything. And I'm like you, I don't need or require a 4-5-0, 6-0 drubbing, not interested, but going there and putting on a bit of a show and making that statement win is massive.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey.
If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I think we saw a little bit of that with the performance against Sheffield United. Look, not the same teams, not going to be the same approach, different atmosphere, loads of differences, shockingly, despite the United thing, between Sheffield and Manchester, Jamie. But I think Liverpool did play within themselves, and it wasn't until Robertson came on, Liverpool just felt like they let the handbrake off a little bit, and that's a lot with how we use the fullbacks, because Bradley was getting up okay. Gomez, I thought, was actually having a really good game, generally speaking, but the second Robertson came on, and obviously the other players as well, Curtis Jones gave us a little bit of control later on, Harvey Elliott actually tactically suited what we were trying to do a little bit better than how Salah had been performing up to that point. But I think Dan's thing is interesting there. I'm all for us just going and land a heavy blow in the first couple of minutes. Just go with a haymaker and watch the knees wobble and see if you can shake them early doors, because I think that's where we went wrong a little in the FA Cup game, was you let them get the feet under them, the crowd got into it, they had buy-in, and then you're fighting against 70,000 people and plus 11, whereas you can make it work against them if you get it right.
Yeah, I thought we started poorly in the FA Cup game. I remember someone playing like a 10-yard pass to Salah and it just went out for a throw-in. And just little signs where you're like, we're not quite on it. We haven't been kind of roaring out the blocks recently. Obviously, we conceded early to Brighton. I think last night, once we went to 1-0 up, I'd call it like sterile domination of like, you know, we obviously had 81% possession or whatever. A second goal is going to come. It's going to come. We don't really have to like bust a goal. It's Sheffield. They're terrible, aren't they? Come on, Sheffield. And then you start thinking like that, and you know, you get your eye wiped, and it took us conceding for us to make the changes. But yeah, Robertson has to start for me. I think he as well as Gomez has been playing, he showed exactly what he offers. You know, bombs down the left hand side. He's still, I think, by maybe not a distance, he's still the worst finisher at the club with his volley on. Like, could that have fallen to anyone?
Well, what you're saying there is our two left back options are
the worst finishers at the club.
Yeah. But brilliant cross for Gakpo. Yeah. And, you know, we can, if Nunez starts, which I'm guessing he will, that cross would be perfect for Nunez as well. He's a big fella. He's, you know, he scored some brilliant headers for us. So, yeah, I'd certainly be looking to get out the traps early and definitely starting Robertson and seeing what he can create over on that left hand side.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they've got going for them, because obviously, as you say, the heartbreak of the Brentford game. I mean, we were in the pub last night after the match, which is very unusual for me. But we all through the game, people were showing me updates of the Chelsea score. Oh, Chelsea 1-0, Chelsea 2-0. Oh, they've got it back out to 3-2. Oh, well, fine, we'll write that off, because in my head it was always as long as they get legged.
Yeah,
you know, I just want them to have it be in a game before they play us.
Yeah.
Exactly. But actually to have that again, that the devastation as well of it being Cole Palmer who crops up. And again, it crop up in a way that, like what are they doing? Like, they're all over the sixes and sevens defensively. You know, it's the last kick of the game and nobody thinks to go and close Cole Palmer down. Yeah. It's absolute madness. So, yeah, that was obviously fun, and that plays into it. But I was looking at their injury, so it seems very, very unlikely that Casemiro, Varane, Evans will be involved in this one. Mm-hmm. Malassi is likely ruled out as well. There's tons, obviously, Anthony Martial. Victor Lindelof is...
People online saying that Malassi has gone missing.
I mean, if you'd asked me to name Manchester United squads, I wouldn't have even...
Wouldn't have included him.
I didn't even know he really... I vaguely recall him signing. I know he is to read his name, but anyway. But yeah, Lindelof, Lisandro Martinez out, and obviously Luke Shaw remains.
But your name in there is a lot of centre-backs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a young lad plays came a lot of centre-backs. Yeah. I'm guessing that. I can't even remember his name. That young lad's probably going to have to play, isn't he?
Yeah, I'll find out
good
his
luck,
name.
Good luck, Kambala.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah,
Willie Kambala. Yeah.
Didn't even see that, but I kind of had a hunch it might be him. Yeah. This again speaks to us needing to go there and flex our muscles, because if they are so weak defensively in terms of the personnel they got available to them, why wouldn't we look at that and go, okay, let's have a right good go from the outset? There's no need to even play our way into the game. No, this sounds all very fancy, not very, you know, idealistic, if you like, but they've got five or six key centre backs out. Whatever we think of them individually is a different conversation, mm-hmm. but go for the throat, because that's weak. We've got tons and tons of firepower. We've not exactly been at it, which again I think speaks to we've got and potentially angry Mohamed Salah with 30 minutes rest into his legs.
Yeah.
Let's go and do this. Flex our muscles, like I say.
Yeah, completely agree on that one. So obviously the Chelsea game, they started Onana, Dalot, Rafael Varane, Harry Maguire, Wan-Bissaka across the back, Mainoo and Casemiro, Garnacho, Fernandes, Anthony and Hoyland. Now, obviously Rashford comes into the game, as does Mason Mount. You expect Mason Mount's probably ready for a start now. So there's obviously something to be aware of there. It was a player very, very, very heavily linked with Liverpool a year ago. Amrabat still doesn't seem to get games for them. Christian Eriksen will be involved in some, and obviously Ahmed Diallo as well, who we'll be familiar with. Now will obviously be a potential for them in and of that. Liverpool, of course, will have the option, the Curtis Jones, if we can get Endo back at the Afilo, Dan, that's going to be pivotal to us, because McAllister did a good job, you know, dropping back into the six. I mean, look, winning the ball back to start the counter attack effectively that leads to his screamer of a goal is absolutely peak at the moment, Alexis McAllister. But it's going to be good to have, if you can get Endo back in, it gives you the freedom to basically choose how you want to set up then, because then all of a sudden you've got to pick from McAllister, Szoboszlai, Elliot, Jones, and now even Gravenberch as well ahead of that. Which is the absolute ideal, really.
No, it certainly is. Yeah, I think it's pretty telling as well that Endo wasn't involved in any capacity last night. And obviously Klopp came out after the game and said he was a chance for tonight, don't get me wrong, but we felt it was a smarter and wiser decision to rest him. If there was a game you could afford to not have Wataru Endo, as brilliant as I think he is involved in, it was a game whereby you've got 83% possession, which is a Premier League record. Because again, I think he's been really, really good on the ball and stuff like that, but McAllister's skill set in the six is definitely more suited to a game of that ilk. So yeah, I think he was sort of nodding one eye towards the fact that Wataru Endo is likely to be involved on Sunday, and I think that's right. As much as I'm sitting here saying I want Liverpool to be front foot and really aggressive and all that sort of stuff, you do want someone like Wataru Endo to allow the players ahead of him to flourish, and I think you're right. My perfect midfield three right now, balance wise and maybe this isn't even necessarily on form, is still McAllister, Szoboszlai, Wataru Endo. That's just because Curtis Jones obviously feeling his way back into the team and stuff like that. I thought he was really good for his 20 minute cameo last night. I think Gravenberch was maybe a little bit off it. He started okay and then kind of grew out of the game, which is strange, I felt. But yeah, we have an abundance of options now, Harvey Elliott into that equation as well, as you rightly say. So it's really nice problems to have, because all of a sudden we're in a world whereby we've got 5/6 proper midfield options, all chomping at the bit, all fit, raring to go, and going to somewhere like Old Trafford, that is an absolute blessing. So yeah, I think Wataru Endo's availability is really, really, really positive.
Yeah, no, I really hope he is there for that, because it's just this, again, it's the stability he gives you, the assurance of having someone there, and particularly Old Trafford, where I want someone to go in and rough people up. Yeah, I think you need that. Again, if you're going to win the psychological battle, having someone go in and win some 50-50s or win some 40-60s without
Klopp's pre-match press conference with the he's had a bit of a knock, felt like a bit of a he'll be back though, so yeah. You know, one of them,
he said as much really already.
Like, he really, I'm resting him, but I don't want to say to Chris Wilder, you know, we don't need this. We don't need this fella to play against your lot, you know, because they're terrible. But yeah, so I'm pretty sure he's going to start.
Mm. It's some interesting conversations to be had. I think a lot of it centres around the fullbacks, really, because I think if Konate's come through, he obviously had a little bit of a knock during the game. I'd be fine with Quanta starting centre half, to be perfectly honest. We know that Gomez started right back in the FA Cup game, and I think that was largely to try and neutralise the impact of Rashford. But you know that can go both ways, because there's something to just giving it to Bradley and saying, go. But I think if you're going to go Robertson left back, I think it makes sense to go Gomez right back again, because then you've got your more solid defensive right back. Robertson can do the flying. So that, for me, that feels about right for the back four.
No, I'd be with you. No objections from me. Don't get me wrong, if somebody was sitting here saying it needs to be Conor Bradley, I could be brought around to that way of thinking. And likewise, if it needs to be Joe Gomez at left back. But I think last night, and I spoke about this with your dad earlier on, funnily enough, in the Final Word show, it was quite telling how Robertson offered that natural width on the left-hand side, and that was a difference maker. I thought Gomez had a good game, by the way, at left back, doing the inverted stuff. There's nothing wrong with his performance. But when Robbo came on, he offered, like I say, that ready-made left back. He's going to get up and down, and it's crossing ability from that side, so if he leads to the third goal, it felt more balanced to me. And I think this game on Sunday is crying out for that. I like the Bradley thing in terms of pushing Rashford the other way. He did that against Brighton last week when he's having difficulty defensively. He went, oh, well, watch this then, you're going this way with me now.
Yeah.
Worked really well. However, I would be Joe Gomez at right back, and yeah, I would be Andy Robertson at left back.
We were talking a bit about, you know, you were talking about Rashford's lack of pressing. If Rashford starts, could that be possibly a reason to play Bradley? If it's like, well, he's not going to do loads,
not going to track with him anyway.
If he looks like he's phoning it in a bit and he's not going to be tracking,
you've got to be brave, though. That's the thing. Yeah. And that's a big ask for Bradley. I think the last couple of games, both Sheffield United and Brighton, I think he's come out well,
yeah,
ultimately. But I think they were two of the most sternest tests he's faced in different kind of ways, and that takes a lot. And the problem is, of course, is that it's the overall balance. I just don't know. I mean, look, ultimately we finished the game with Bradley and Robertson,
but both of them from the start at Old Trafford,
but we didn't ask both of them to actually, you can afford to go when you need to, because you're effectively chasing the game at home to the bottom team in the country, not in for 50 minutes, 45 yeah, minutes, 60 minutes away from home at Old Trafford.
And also, you could conceivably sort of tell Conor Bradley, I'm just resting you for this one.
Yeah.
We've got seven more games to go, some big Europa League games coming up. We're all just having a rest today.
And you can make a tactical shift if the game's going on. Robertson's probably not got 90 in him. So on 65, 70, whatever, move Gomez to left back, bring Bradley on, flip it, and then you've got a different avenue to approach it. Similar style, similar vein, someone who's going to really, really drive at them. And maybe that's the avenue. But I'm actually fine either, because
yeah,
I think, as Robertson showed on Thursday night, I think he can be that off the bench if we need to. Yeah. Midfield, I think the only conversation, I think if Endo's fit, I think he starts. I think McAllister is basically second name on the team sheet pretty much at this point after Virgil. I would be interested in seeing Curtis Jones over Szoboszlai. I think Szoboszlai will start because he's fitter, but I don't think he's been in great form. Turned the corner a little bit back end against Brighton. Thought he was all right again last night when he was on the pitch. But Curtis Jones just looked so natural when he came into that game.
Yeah, he did. He looked like he hadn't been away. Curtis Jones is one of the biggest compliments I can pay him, to be honest with you, because he was in outstanding form when his injury unfortunately came about. And like I say, he picked up where he left off last night. So yeah, really impressed with that. And again, I could be swayed into starting him, and that's the right thing to do, 100%, because I think you're right. I think Szoboszlai hasn't been at it. It feels like Szoboszlai searching for his best form right now, and he's scratching the surface of it. There's moments whereby you think, okay, I recognise that's Dom Szoboszlai, but what he offers, you know, is slightly different to Curtis Jones. Probably
he's playing position as well.
But there's a bit more pace, a bit more dynamism, more power, whereas Curtis Jones offers the balance and the control and obviously the neat footwork and all that sort of stuff. So there's different ways to skin a cat, I guess, and I guess that speaks and sort of lends itself to the way we're going to approach this game too, and how United approach it might also do that. So I think the safer move, if I can be relatively sort of disrespectful to one of these guys, would be Curtis Jones, if he's fit enough to start the game, because again, he offers that balance, he offers that security in midfield, very Wijnaldum-esque in that. But I think if you are going to go for the throat a little bit more, I think Szoboszlai would be the balls out of the bath move here.
What would you pick, Jones or Szoboszlai, Jamie?
I mean, I'd be tempted with Jones after that. You know, he immediately comes on the pitch, picks the ball up, starts driving, just that close control. But he's only played, 20 minutes?
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't want to fight. If there's a situation where they've got a breakaway, and do you want Jones on 60? He's absolutely blowing because he's not fit, you know. So I think he'll pick Szoboszlai. I would probably just about pick Szoboszlai, but I agree, Szoboszlai's not quite been back to the form we saw earlier in the season, but you know, maybe he's been back out of 3-4 weeks now, hasn't he? Maybe Sunday can be the one where he really, you know, it's like, oh, you thought McAllister was good, well, remember me, actually. Like,
yeah,
maybe that can be the game for him to well, do that.
Everyone, every time you take to the field, you've got an opportunity to make yourself a hero, and particularly in a game at Old Trafford against Manchester United in a title running, any one of them players has got the ability to do that. And yeah, Szoboszlai feels like he's being geared towards it at the moment. Mm. But interesting, again, I don't think Gravenberch particularly stole a march on anyone with his performance, but at least we've got him sharp and he's there as a possibility to keep things fresh. I thought Elliott was brill when he came on again. So we're not short of choices, which I think is the encouraging thing, particularly until like Jota comes back. Mm. That we're going to be making a big difference to how we attack is going to be through those lads. Yeah. Does the front three pick itself then? Diaz, Nunes, Salah.
Yeah, as pleased and as impressed as I was with Cody Gakpo, he hasn't forced himself into that conversation yet. And don't get me wrong, he's forced himself closer towards that conversation because I think he needed to as well. I think he felt like he needed to. I think, obviously, Lexi McAllister coming out after the game and heaping praise on him was really sort of pointed towards where Cody Gakpo's been at. And obviously, he's been feeling the pressure a little bit, lacking in confidence. So, made up for him that he got his goal. And I actually think he was really good all round, to be honest with you. I think all the subs were last night, by the way. I think they all had an impact in their own way on the game and helped us get over the line, of course. I think he took his goal pretty well, of course, as well. So, yeah, I think Gakpo is definitely ready now, or more ready than he was 24 hours ago, to make an impact on a game like this. However, he doesn't start the game because those three on form are the best three we own right now without Jota.
Well, it's interesting. Cody Gakpo, 14 goals all comps for us this season, 4 assists, which is the same as Diogo Jota. I bet he's played 800 more minutes than him, obviously, with Diogo's injuries. So yeah, Gakpo's just one of them, and he's just kind of ticking along. But I don't think any of us would be saying he's the guy at the moment. So yeah, I agree. I think the front three picks itself, but the bonus of Cody Gakpo is having scored that goal and had a telling impact again. None of us could say his season's come close to what we were seeing from him last year. No. But here he is, our joint third top goal scorer in the season, 14, by where most of us would say he's probably our fifth best attacker. So yeah, that's certainly a positive to take,
especially if they've got our friend Willie
Kambala,
Big Willie, in at centre back, and he's inexperienced. Nunez absolutely torturing him everywhere versus Gakpo, nice neat touches, like little 1-2s around the box, that's all lovely. But the full, if Big Willie can have the full Darwin experience, then I think that's going to go a long way to us winning the game.
Yeah, I agree. It is an interesting one. I think there's a conversation a year ago when you're saying, watch your horses for courses, and is this a game where you want someone doing a false nine thing and dragging their centre halves? And you know, if we own Roberto Firmino still and you knew you could guarantee what you were getting out of him, I'd maybe be having a conversation around, let's leave Darwin for half an hour, just run riot at them, and then just have your false nine, stretch them for a little bit. But I just don't think Gakpo's been there that it warrants taking Nunes out, because he's basically been the complete centre forward in the last sort of like couple of months for us. So yeah, but yeah, I'm pleased with that team. And again, it still goes, still bears repeating: no Alisson, no Trent, no Matip, no Thiago, no Jota. And then in terms of like the younger players, you know, Stefan Bocetta, still no sign of him getting back in the first team squad as well. That Liverpool are able to put a team out of that sort of caliber, then yeah, good. No excuses this time around. Please. Other than the fact that we need to remember Old Trafford is a hard place to go, and I'm hopeful that the FA Cup game has tempered that for us a little bit. We've been spoiled in the last few seasons with some really big wins against them. We need to remember that you don't go to Old Trafford and win often, so you've got to appreciate them. Every one of us, when we think about our favourite wins against Manchester United, we've probably got one or two in our lifetimes where you can point to, and that speaks to how rare they are. Yeah. Hopefully this can be another one, but ultimately a 1-0 win would be a famous win at Old Trafford if it's 3 points that goes towards winning a league title. So yeah, that's the most important thing for the Reds. Some interesting comments that we had in while we were chatting. John McNulty said, need Jamie's late nan down the AXA sick room, just to give a bit of a kick up the arse.
I mean, I'll get in touch with the medium and see if we can see if we can sort that.
Yeah. Stevie G says just win Reds. Yeah, 100%. Mate, I think we could all definitely get behind that sentiment. And we had a super chat from V. Aaron, who says, "Have you guys seen Michael Edwards' bids for Valverde, 130 million?
I mentioned that upstairs a minute ago. Yeah, the monthly bid for Valverde from Liverpool came in. Yeah, listen. I'd be lying if I said I wouldn't walk to the ends of the earth to get Valverde at Liverpool, but I don't see that being a thing at all, unfortunately
not, but yeah. We'll see. Stranger things have happened. Right, if you've enjoyed this show, do make a point of dropping a like on it, and do check out Match Bingo as well. The QR code is in the corner of the screen. I'm really looking forward to seeing how it all sort of pans out over the game. So what I'm hoping for is there's a random little look ahead to the middle one I've got here is a yellow card to be shown during the 4th, 14th, 24th, etc. minutes for me to get a full house and a goal that ends in the 6th minute or 6th 16, 26, etc. So, yeah.
Wow.
They're the real wrinkles in all of this.
Niche, that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is indeed. So, yeah, make sure you scan the QR code or use the link in the description underneath. Play Match Bingo along with us this weekend. Thank you to Jamie, to Dan, and to everyone who's joined us live here on YouTube and beyond. You guys are the best. Have a wonderful couple of days. And try not to get too nervous for Old Trafford, because this is the stuff that we live for. The nerves are part of the experience. Jürgen making us feel all of our feelings, and he will do that until he leaves. So, yeah, let's embrace it while we can. See you soon. Ta-da.